Take hold, engage. You are now entering the Cerebro Podcast. Joke of the day comes from New York Yankees shortstop and broadcaster Phil Rizzuto. I'll take any way to get into the Hall of Fame. If they want a bat boy, I'll go in as a bat boy. Thought of the day comes from baseball player, Hall of Famer, and baseball philosopher Yogi Berra. It's tough to make predictions, especially about the future. Welcome to the fourth episode. Thank you for joining me today. It has been over 20 years since I traveled back and forth from my parents' home in Rockland County to New York City. But I arrived into the Port Authority bus terminal on a daily basis. Then I navigated down off the bus, down the steps, through the terminal, and through crowds in the hustle and bustle of rush hour. I walked a few blocks to Times Square, where I worked for Nickelodeon by handling online communication for America Online. I moderated the Nickelodeon and Nick at Night message boards and chat rooms on a regular basis. My job evolved over the course of time into a web production assistant. This is not a story about me getting the job or working at Nickelodeon. It is a story of me being driven by other things besides the bus. Growing up, I always wanted to compete and succeed in the field of communications, but I had doubts whether or not I would achieve it. I also thought it would never happen so soon by being the first job I had out of college. But there was one feeling which has evolved over time, and it has given me the desire to succeed. Jealousy. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines jealousy as hostility toward a person believed to enjoy an advantage. These feelings began even before I started using crutches at the age of 5. Prior to that, I remember seeing other kids my age moving around freely while I was stuck in a stroller. I remember being pushed around in a stroller. Although I don't recall specific details, I do remember wondering why I couldn't do what I saw other people do. The reason was that I had cerebral palsy as a result of contracting spinal meningitis when I was born in 1972. After I started using crutches, I felt jealous since I saw other people didn't need them. I asked myself, my parents, and others, including God, why I was different. I felt cheated many times. I didn't want to be different. I wanted to be included. So I went to a regular Catholic elementary school where I was the only student with a visible disability. Remember, that was the 1980s, and they didn't know about other hidden disabilities, learning disabilities, or chronic illnesses. I wanted to compete with other kids, but the extra pair of crutches often slowed me down. I used to practice throwing a baseball and football with my dad in the backyard after dinner and before doing homework. I remember being in a stroller in 1976 before I started school. We visited the National Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. One specific picture still stands out literally in my head. My dad took a picture of me in a stroller below the Babe Ruth plaque with my brother and sister standing on either side of me. The picture, combined with other experiences, motivated me to practice for hours throwing and catching a tennis ball. I didn't think about the therapeutic throws and the repetitious benefits of hand-eye coordination. I'm sure my dad did, though. The back-and-forth flings sometimes lasted for a couple of hours. Even after the battery of ball tosses were completed, I continued to catch and field the ball by throwing it up in the air or against the side of the house. And before I climbed stairs to go to bed, I would throw the ball against the stairs for extra practice for 15 minutes. A few of my best plays were made to save things like light bulbs, lamps, Hummels, and other household decorations from damage. This was before the Miracle League and other adaptive sports leagues. I wanted to play sports. Sometimes my classmates would accommodate me because they knew how much I liked baseball and football. I used to tell the other kids, "You are holding one bat, but I am holding two." Now you may be asking yourself, "Rob, how could you be a flexible utility player on the playground?" The answer is because this was before adaptive sports, so I could create my own rules. I also got some experience coaching other kids on the best way to help me. One example was when another kid would pinch run for me while I stood and swung at home plate. I became a stand-in designated hitter. During the football season, I would be a flexible utility player too. On the offensive side of the ball, I would stand in as a blocker for the quarterback. I used my crutches to occupy extra space to create more of a barrier between the defensive line and the quarterback. On the defensive side, I would rush the quarterback and create different distractions by using my crutches. In one example, I waved one crutch in the air like a windshield wiper to distract the quarterback and obstruct his view. In another tactic, I tried to poke the QB with the rubber end of my crutch. Things like this worked in gym class and the playground until about fifth grade. By then, other kids were getting too fast for me to stay competitive during games, and peer pressure became a more formal formulating factor. Over the next year, I transitioned to umpiring and refereeing games. The extra benefit of having an umpire or referee with crutches helped when the other kids needed to borrow one crutch to extend reach through a fence or underneath a car. Starting in sixth grade, I moved to the sidelines and dug out a spot to start broadcasting games from the playground. This gave me the opportunity to continually participate. Some of my classmates thought I was weird by broadcasting the action, but often they would change their minds after hearing me announce their names. They even became flattered when I would announce their names repeatedly during an exciting or clutch play. At home, I started actively listening to New York baseball announcers. My favorite color commentator became Phil Rizzuto. He was a former Yankee shortstop in the 1940s and 50s. He got the nickname Scooter for his unique running style and short legs. You can probably figure out that I identified with the name Scooter, and this was before the name was used for motorized vehicles. He played a major role in the New York Yankee team dynasty that captured 10 American League titles in 13 seasons. Scooter played in 9 World Series and helped the Yankees win 7 championships. He earned the Most Valuable Player Award in 1950, and he also became an All-Star several times. After his playing career, he spent the next 40 years in the broadcast booth for the New York Yankees. He famously called Roger Maris' record-breaking 61st home run in 1961. His trademark catchphrase was, "Holy cow!" He was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1994. I used to watch some baseball games with the volume muted so that I could speak into a tape recorder and practice sounding like Phil Rizzuto with his unusual speaking style. Here are some examples of Phil Rizzuto broadcasting.
Daphne Lapazan.
Wishing someone a happy birthday during a play was definitely a way to throw in some humor. Sports and broadcasting became one of the ways that I learned to push myself and succeed as a kid. The idea is not to steal other people's success through jealousy, but to make your own success by changing, adapting, and staying relevant. Sports became one of the bases I used to pursue success, and I learned to swing back and forth along the way. I hope you enjoyed the 4th episode. Please share it with someone you know. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can listen to the show on Podbean, iTunes, and Google Play. If you like, you can join the show Facebook group at The Cerebral Podcast. You can also email the show at thecerebralpodcast@gmail.com to send questions, comments, and ideas for the show. And remember to be vulnerable, be accountable, and be respectful in the way you treat others and yourself. You can be the biggest variable in your life when you take ownership. Now, take hold, engage in your world. You are now leaving the Cerebral Podcast.